It's Monday, January 4th, AD 2021. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Anyan Ki, the Chinese preacher of the Xuncheng Church in Shanxi Province, who was just detained in November, was detained again along with five other members after their Bible study at the preacher's home on December 30th, reports International Christian Concern. According to Yan Ki's wife Yao, nearly 40 communist officials descended on their home and restricted the movement of the participants. They confiscated the choir robes and books that belonged to the church before taking away the preacher and five women. China Aid reports that while the five female detainees were gradually released around midnight of New Year's Eve, the preacher spent his New Year's Eve in detention as he serves a 15-day administrative sentence. The Xuncheng Church was planted by the heavily persecuted Early Rain Covenant Church. A Polish patient in England resumed receiving life-sustaining treatment after his birth family and the Polish government made applications to the British court and to the European Court of Human Rights, reports LifeSiteNews.com. The patient, known only as R.S., resumed nutrition and hydration on December 28th. He is able to breathe on his own. Job 121 reveals that only God should determine the moment when a person's life is over. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On New Year's Eve, President Donald Trump delivered a 5-minute upbeat speech about his administration's accomplishments. Listen to the tail end in which he addresses America's economic growth after the China virus shutdowns, securing the border, and reaching historic peace deals in the Middle East.
I froze student loan payments, stopped evictions, suspended payroll taxes. We have slashed the unemployment rate from 14.7% all the way down to 6.7%. And a lot of people thought that the 14.7 could be 32 or 40 or 45%. And now we're down to 6.7 and heading a lot lower. We made it dramatically better than experts predicted just a few months ago. Our economy is growing at the most rapid rate ever recorded, 33.4% last quarter, and much faster than the nations of Europe. Whenever America is challenged, we always rise to the occasion. We are bringing critical medical manufacturing back home to America. We have secured our borders and paused immigration to protect American workers. We lowered drug prices for the first time in 51 years. And after years of endless foreign wars, we are signing historic peace deals in the Middle East. It's all ending in the Middle East. We have to hope it keeps going. It's so easy if you know what you're doing. In this season of joy, Americans have so much to be grateful for. We're all blessed to live in the greatest country ever to exist on the face of the earth, and we have made it greater than ever before. As long as we remain loyal to our nation, devoted to our citizens, and faithful to Almighty God, we know that the best is yet to come.
Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri appeared on Fox News last Wednesday night after announcing his plan to object to the certification of Electoral College results on January 6th, reports RealClearPolitics.com. Listen.
When Republicans, 74 million Americans, have concerns about election integrity, we're supposed to just sit down and shut up? I mean, somebody has to stand up here. You've got 74 million Americans who feel disenfranchised, who feel like their vote doesn't matter, and this is the one opportunity that I have as a United States Senator. This process right here, my one opportunity to stand up and say something, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. My view is this, that this is my opportunity to stand up and say something, to stand up and point out that there were irregularities in this election, that there was fraud. Nobody disputes that, by the way, that there needs to be an investigation as to how widespread this fraud was, and there needs to be change. Our election laws need to be changed. We need election integrity measures, obviously, and yet Congress has done nothing, and they won't do anything unless somebody stands up and says something.
Since Senator Hawley's initial announcement, 11 other Republican senators and senators-elect have also declared that they plan to challenge the electoral votes as well on January 6th, reports the Epoch Times. The senators include Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Mike Braun of Indiana, Ted Cruz of Texas, Steve Daines of Montana, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, John Kennedy of Louisiana, and James Lankford of Oklahoma. And the Republican senators-elect include Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, Roger Marshall of Kansas, and Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. To get a more detailed overview of what to expect on January 6th when the presidential electors are set to be certified, including all of the various possibilities, stay tuned for a Worldview special report immediately following this newscast at theworldview.com. Plus, you'll hear a compelling summary by Republican Congressman-elect Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina about the election violations in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. A record 3 million Georgia voters cast their ballots before early voting ended for the U.S. Senate runoffs, setting up a showdown that will be decided on Election Day tomorrow, reports the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The high turnout so far reflects the national importance of the dual runoffs, which will determine control of the Senate. Republican U.S. Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue face Democratic challengers Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. Reverend Warnock's wife, Yuli, claims that he ran over her foot in a domestic dispute in the midst of the contentious divorce. Tucker Carlson aired exclusive video from the body camera of the policeman who responded to the domestic disturbance call. State election data analyzed by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution indicate more ballots have been cast so far by groups and in areas that tend to favor Democrats, and turnout lagged in rural conservative congressional districts through Thursday, especially in northwest Georgia, where President Donald Trump plans to rally voters today. But Republicans could make up ground with a strong showing on Election Day tomorrow. And finally, leaders in the House of Representatives announced on Friday a rules package for the 117th Congress that includes a proposal to use, quote, gender-inclusive language, end quote, and eliminate gendered terms such as, quote, father, mother, son, daughter, end quote, reports the Epoch Times. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Rules Committee Chairman James McGovern, a Democrat from Massachusetts, announced on Friday that the rules package includes changes that would, quote, honor all gender identities by changing pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral, end quote. Genesis 1 verse 27 could not be more clear. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Monday, January 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2021. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. The outcome of the presidential election of 2020 will be finally decided on January 6th. That's the day when the House and the Senate meet in joint session, with Vice President Mike Pence presiding, to vote on whether to accept the Electoral College votes from each of the 50 states. As the 12th Amendment specifies, this will be done state by state in alphabetical order, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Alabama's and Alaska's Electoral College votes for President Trump will be read to the assembled body, which will vote to accept them without controversy. But then we will come to Arizona's 11 Electoral College votes. The vice president will have two slates of votes in his hands, the official slate certified by Arizona Governor Doug Ducey for Joe Biden, and a second slate sent by the state's Republican electors for Donald Trump. He will read out the official slate, and several dozen Republican congressmen and senators will stand up to object. They will argue that the real winner of the Arizona election was Donald Trump, that Biden's slate of votes should be thrown out, and that the Republican slate of votes for Trump should be accepted in its place. At this point, as called for by a 1948 law, the House and the Senate will withdraw to their separate chambers to vote on whether to accept the Biden Electoral College votes. On a straight party line vote, the Pelosi-led House would narrowly vote to accept the Biden slate, while the Republican-dominated Senate would narrowly vote to reject it. Here's where matters get complicated. The 1948 law says both houses must, quote-unquote, concurrently reject such a certified slate. On the other hand, such a law cannot trump the Constitution, which clearly identifies the vice president as the presiding officer. As such, Vice President Pence could rule that, since the House and Senate are divided, the Biden slate of Electoral College votes will not be counted. It can also be argued the 1948 law itself violates the Constitution, opening up an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court. This same process will play out with all 50 states. In all, 7 states have sent Trump electors to Washington: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. If all the contested states which have sent dueling slates of Electoral College votes to D.C. have their votes rejected in this way, neither Trump nor Biden wins a majority of the Electoral College votes, and the matter then goes to the House, where each state delegation gets 1 vote. Trump wins 27-21. The problem with this scenario is that several Republican senators have made it clear that they would rather not have to vote at all. If several of these rhinos, or Republicans in name only, such as notable Trump bashers Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse, cast a vote in favor of the Biden slate of electors, or even just fail to show up for the proceedings, Biden will succeed in the most audacious election heist in American history. The newly elected Republican congressman from North Carolina's 11th District, Madison Cawthorn, tweeted a video about his plans to object to the electors in swing states due to voter fraud. His overview of the election fraud is succinct.
My name is Madison Cawthorn. My first act as a member of Congress will be to object to the Electoral College certification of the 2020 election. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of our Constitution declares clearly that state legislatures are solely responsible for determining presidential electors. This means state election laws must be followed to have a fair presidential election. So the question on the legality of the 2020 election becomes simple. Were state laws followed? No. No, they were not. In Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, and Wisconsin, election laws were either broken or ignored completely. Here is a basic overview of election violations. In Pennsylvania, mail-in ballots were cast and counted in clear violation of state law. Little or no signature verification, allowing defective ballots, voting days and days after the election, poll watchers banned from polling locations and tabulation rooms. In Arizona, election officials failed to follow signature comparison requirements and excluded election observers in flagrant violation of state law. In Georgia, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger unilaterally rescinded Georgia's statute requiring a detailed signature verification of each absentee ballot without legislative approval. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, without legislative approval, unilaterally rescinded 2 Michigan statutes related to absentee ballot applications and signature verification. Her office sent unsolicited absentee voter ballot applications by mail to 7.7 million registered Michigan voters prior to the elections. Later, they arbitrarily allowed absentee ballots to be acquired online without signature verification. And then in Minnesota, Secretary of State Steve Simon, a Democrat, passed a consent decree suspending a requirement under Minnesota law that absentee ballots be signed by a witness with a Minnesota address. The state legislature in Minnesota created the witness requirement to protect the integrity of absentee voting. A single official has no right to rescind it. Over in Nevada's Clark County, there were clear violations of signature verification and election observer requirements for mail-in ballots. On top of that, they allowed dead and out-of-state voters to flood the Nevada electoral system this year. Wisconsin decided to put out drop boxes, literally just a box on the side of the road, for absentee ballots. A slap in the face to their own law that states that any ballot not mailed or delivered may not be counted in election results. Ballots were shoved into duffel bags and left in parks and over in gas stations. This is a gross and flagrant violation of the security and sanctity of our election process. Guess who else decided to change their state laws and allow unconstitutional vote drop boxes? Georgia. These violations became even more egregious when you consider that millions of Americans voted in 2020 using mail-in ballots. There is bipartisan agreement from experts that mail-in ballots are wildly susceptible to fraud. Fraud using mail-in balloting has led to criminal convictions in dozens of states in recent elections. Fact check that. Sorry guys, mail-in voting is not secure. These flagrant violations of state law mixed with the massive late-night mail-in ballot drops in key swing states, the corrupted election technology, illegal counting practices, dead voters, and mathematically impossible vote irregularities leads me to question the sanctity of our election results. I believe if these states had followed their own laws, the election results would be markedly different. Remember, in recent American elections, there have been thousands of criminal convictions for election fraud. You are insane if you think this election had none. Again, the Constitution clearly states that state legislatures, not state courts, not governors, not the media, and most certainly not Facebook or Twitter, are expressly given the power to determine electors for the President of the United States. Congress can and should eject a state's electors when elections are not held in accordance with state law, or when election results are corrupted. I plan on doing just that. At this time, I am planning on objecting to the electors from Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. The sanctity of our vote is the only thing separating our republic from tyranny. If we don't act now, our votes will become meaningless, our republic will crumble, and the America that we know and love will be forever lost. Every fraudulent vote cast cancels a legal American's vote, your voice. The amount of fraud we should tolerate in our election is zero. That is why I will object.
This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.